We're speaking with William Thomas tonight, and it's a very interesting discussion. And the thing that troubles me on an ongoing basis is so many so-called facts, so many contradictory facts. In one place, you see that, well, barium is its industrial uses are limited. You go to another site, and now you see, you know, barium is used for all sorts of things, plastics and this and that and the other. And I suppose all of this is just in an effort to discover whether or not something evil is being done to the population of planet Earth. What is evil anyway? It's a force or a factor which creates nothing, but which distorts or perverts that which has been created. I'll give you a rudimentary and somewhat sophomoric example. There was a British comedy on first part of the last decade called Coupling. And this fellow was trying to explain that when man discovered fire, he didn't say, "Wow, look, now we can cook." What he said instead was, "Oh, great, now we can see bottoms at night." You see what I'm saying? You can take it from the rudimentary sophomoric level all the way up to what's going to happen after all of us have inhaled so much of this stuff that somebody who's decided to do something, well, evil, just flips a switch and, oh, look, we had 7 billion people, but now we only have 3. I don't know, these mass annihilations have happened before. I'm not suggesting that our government would do anything like that. But it does get my attention that the British press reported some years ago that back in the 70s, the population over a couple of key cities, I want to say it was Kent and London, were subjected to some biological testing. They released virus on them, but they did release something that they could measure in them. And there have been allegations that biotics often accompany these chemtrails, and yet people like William Thomas devote their lives to finding out what is the truth, and hopefully it will set us free. Okay, we'll be back with William Thomas in just a moment. This is Coast to Coast AM. William, some time ago, a friend of mine who has sort of dropped off the scope and pursued, I don't know if he's studying with the equivalent of a Pai Mei somewhere out of Kill Bill 2. I don't know what he's doing right now, but he's a photographer and quite good at it. And he had a conversation with a female friend of his who related a story regarding a conversation that she had with a high-ranking military officer in the U.S. Air Force. And she asked him, what's going on with these lingering trails of cloud in the sky? And he gave her a little wan smile and said, "My dear, do you remember the color of sunlight when you were young?" She said, "Well, yes." He said, "What color was it?" She said, "Well, it was kind of a light yellow or golden color sometimes." He says, "That's correct." He says, "What color is it now?" She said, "Well, it's sort of a whitish light gray sometimes." He said, "We're looking after you." And that's all he said. Now, what do you make of that?
Well, there you go. We're looking after you. We're blocking that sunlight. We're engineering, geoengineering global dimming. We are reflecting some of the sunlight back into space so that we don't all roast and see the climate completely flip out into something I call climate shift. Climate change, in my opinion, is passe. What we got to be worried about is climate shift. That is, the slowly squeezed trigger of a shotgun poses no danger until the trigger breaks and the gun goes off. And then we have a sudden and drastic change. And in terms of climate, you used the word earlier tonight, caught my attention, John, chaos. And I've done quite a bit of study on chaos theory. In fact, Southwest Airlines flew me down to Santa Fe some years ago, my own suggestion, to interview the people at the Complexity Institute. And I spent a fascinating few days investigating chaos theory, which is now complexity theory. And we know that when we get in the chaos zone and cross thresholds, the result is a cascade of unpredictable events and a simplification, if you will, of the conditions that went before. In other words, in climate terms, a simplification would be permanent drought, acidifying oceans, methane releases that can't be stopped, and permanent in terms of thousands of years, permanent on a human scale. So I'm concerned that we can be tripping over these thresholds and that geoengineering, of which chemtrails are a major part, could be a major shove over this cliff. And it makes me very concerned. We saw, interestingly enough, when the airlines were grounded on 9/11, you recalled, the temperature across the United States went up a full degree. In fact, more than 1 degree Fahrenheit. And when the airlines started up and were laying their condensation trails, which have a major impact on climate besides chemtrails, temperatures dropped 0.8 of a degree, showing, in fact, that artificial clouds, however you make them, with contrails or chemtrails, do, in fact, lower temperatures. If this is the case, and the United States broke something like 5,000 temperature records last year, and we keep breaking world temperature records every year, and the Arctic ice sheet is disappearing, and the Greenland ice sheet is melting, and you know the drill. This sounds very dire, but what if chemtrails are masking the true extent of this atmospheric warming? What if global dimming is masking the true effect? So that, and other scientists are saying this, they're saying if you eliminate air pollution, if we eliminate it, and we must do that, we could see a surge in temperatures. So chemtrails, if this continues and expands, as the geoengineers are clamoring for, could really paint us into a corner and lock us into some place where we really don't want to go.
Yeah, that's the thing, William. That's the thing that bothers me about this, is that I hear what you're saying. I'm willing to embrace what you're saying. And then I finished with a report earlier that had, you know, climate scientists are puzzled because, gee, we're just not getting that heat that we expected. So it's like, first of all, are we warming or are we not? One thing that
warming,
I do know,
I wouldn't make the argument that gentleman's making with a polar bear.
Right.
Even on general principles, but that might be a very upset polar bear because she's got no ice flows to go to anymore. I wouldn't stand on the Greenland ice sheet and make that argument, because that sheet is melting very rapidly. And the one thing we can say, absolutely, is that every time scientists look at any number of indicators, they always say, gee, it's happening a lot faster than we thought and a lot faster than our models predicted. We can't afford to be wrong on this. You know, again, the precautionary principle, whether we're talking electromagnetic radiation exposure, whether we're talking Fukushima fallout exposure, whether we're talking about the possibility of climate change and runaway climate change, it seems to me that we would want to err on the side of precaution, because if we are wrong and we take cautionary steps, we're good. But if otherwise, and we don't take the steps, and we're right, and there is atmospheric warming going on, and there is broad consensus among atmospheric scientists not paid by industry, and I would like to know the funding and the associations of the, I think you said, scientists making the claim, and I've seen those claims on the net, but the data is not bearing it out, and we really can't afford to take the chance. And if solar activity is a factor in this, and there's no question that it is, and there's no question that solar activity has been very low recently, then it seems to me we don't want to add to the problem. Because bottom line for me and other people watching this is methane. And methane is thawing in the high Arctic. It's thawing from the seafloor. And if that methane, we're talking billions and billions of tons, gigatons, is released, We're going back to the 55 million years ago when this event last took place on Earth, and there were volcanic eruptions. The methane was released. We had land temperatures, John, of 140 degrees. The ocean was 105 degrees, and it was essentially dead. There weren't people running around back then, but there are lots of us running around now. And again, we don't want to let that methane get loose because there's no stopping it. There's no turning that off.
Look, this is a massive project, William.
People might be hearing this and going, well, then chemtrails are good. Geoengineering is good. We have to prevent this. If it's a danger at all, that's a good thing. And in fact, no, it's a very bad thing. The only way to deal with this is to reduce our carbon and nitrogen emissions. Everybody's neglecting nitrogen. It's very big. Airliners spew it out. That's why I don't like to fly in airliners anymore. Our cars do. Fertilizers, farm runoff is huge. And it traps 10 times more heat than carbon, just as a gas. We'll just talk about a gas. We won't use the climate change word and get people riled up. But it's true. It's a gas, and that's what it does. And methane, over a 10-year span, traps 100 times the heat of carbon dioxide. And we don't want to fool with these things. We have to cut our emissions, and why not? We've passed peak oil. Oil's getting very expensive. It's going to continue to get expensive. We're not running out of it, but we're running out of the cheap stuff that has propelled our civilization. So we might as well start making the transition now. And the people looking at geoengineering, people like Ken Caldera, atmospheric scientists of some renown, are saying we should just cut our emissions so that we don't have to go here.
Well, I think we're between a rock and a hard place because we have an ever-increasing number of people who want an ever-increasing number of products, and we're clinging to the old technology.
You got that right.
You know, Granatelli came up with...
And again, turning back to wireless, we have 6 billion cell phone subscribers. I mean, I know that toddlers are using cell phones, but my goodness, that's almost everyone on Earth. But those are accurate. That's an accurate number. We're looking at 640 million smart meters being installed worldwide in the coming 4 years. And all of the grids, which are the real danger, that support the technology that most people want, that most people are addicted to.
Well, there's a couple of things here, William. Number one, this is a very expensive proposition for all these aircraft, not just the fuel that they're burning, but this chemical element that they're spraying out, and it's obvious that they are. In fact, a fellow aviator, this is interesting, and it leads to my point. And we can wander as far or as near a field as you want to, you know. And I appreciate when you say, hey, I can't answer that question. I mean, I can buy that. I can live with that.
Yeah.
What I don't like is when somebody tries to, get through it, but there's no information there. This Jeff in New York says, as a fellow aviator, I find that I observe many more chemtrails from the ground than I do from the air. I fly at flight level 350, which is 35,000 feet to 45,000 feet on a very regular basis. And can only recall a handful of observations from the air. However, from the ground, when I'm able to observe for a period of time, it's easy for me to distinguish a contrail from a chemtrail. The contrail only lasts a few minutes. So what I'm thinking is, I wonder if we're looking at this global heating thing. I wonder if we could look at it from a different perspective. Let me just toss this in the mix.
Sure.
Has anyone but me noticed that years ago, over 15, let's say 20, when the sun would come out and it's changing seasons, it's changing from cold, we're heading into spring now, we've got a warm day now, and your arm is on your windowsill of your car, and you, or wherever, and you feel your skin warming.
Yeah.
Well, now I'm feeling my skin burning. I'm to the point where I go, God, that actually burns, that sunlight burns. I look at the thermometer, it says 65 degrees.
Yeah.
It's like it's 65 degrees and the sunlight is literally burning.
Yes.
And I'm just wondering if maybe what the climatologists are addressing is the wrong kind of radiated heat energy.
Well,
and
that's
hence the chemtrail thing.
You are talking about the continuing destruction of the ozone layer despite the phasing out of the CFCs. We know that the ozone layer continues to disintegrate. Our solar radiation shielding, allowing more solar radiation to penetrate. That's That's very interesting. Ken Caldera, again, I talked to him on the phone, by the way. He did the computer modeling for Edward Teller years ago at Lawrence Livermore National Laboratories to see if 10 million tons of this aluminum oxide spread into the atmosphere would do anything to slow global warming, as Teller was quick to add, if in fact it exists. And Caldera ran the numbers and to his dismay discovered that in fact it would, even if CO2 emissions doubled, the temperature would not rise if these chemicals were spread to not only reflect sunlight, but it actually changes the composition of the warmth trapped between the surface of the Earth and the stratosphere, changes it into near infrared, so it vents into outer space. That was the idea here.
Right.
And Caldera said, I didn't want to find this result because I knew that these chemicals spread in the atmosphere would cool, would supercool the upper atmosphere, the stratosphere, and form ice clouds. And these ice clouds would concentrate the CFCs, and he said that will destroy the ozone layer. And that's a quote he gave to the Geophysicists Union at a major address in San Francisco. And he said, if we go ahead with geoengineering, we will destroy the ozone layer. And now other experts are echoing that concern, and the ozone layer continues to disintegrate as we speak. Chemtrails continue to be spread. For that reason alone, geoengineering and chemtrails should be stopped immediately. Very hard to live without an ozone layer. There'll be no plants, and everyone will have melanoma, and it won't be nice.
You're not a proponent for the continued and even greater widespread use of these iPads and laptops and all this wireless stuff. Or are you fairly convinced? I mean, personally, if not scientifically.
To get rid of my cell phone when I did the research, I thought it was a magical device. You know, when Captain Kirk came out of that transporter onto an alien planet and whipped out that portable communicator, everyone on this planet who saw that wanted one. We did, and we got one. And they are magical devices. No argument there.
Right.
But they're so dangerous, and the evidence is so absolutely compelling. The European Union's convinced. They're about 10 years ahead of us in the electromagnetic wireless experiment, and they are pulling it out of schools and libraries as we speak and trying to backpedal at least as far as they can. Sweden is the canary in the microwave blitz. And Sweden has found that their cancer rates, accident rates, just about anything you want to talk about, have gone up ever since they introduced nationwide second-generation wireless in 97. And so Sweden right now has 250,000 people on permanent paid disability because of something called microwave illness. Brain tumors out of sight, sick leave rates out of sight. And that's where we're catching up very fast here in North America. I noticed that you said earlier in the show, you talked about evil. I'm very interested in that subject, by the way. We could do a show on that. And someone pushing a button and wiping out several billion people. I'm actually more concerned with the unintended consequences of these techno fixes that invariably result in further complications and problems that spawn yet more techno fixes, and it's a downward spiral. But if you want to talk about extinction, and we are now in the sixth great extinction event of the human species, I would commend you to investigate further what's happening with the wireless exposure. People say, well, you know, I don't feel any really bad effects. Yeah, I'm forgetting my appointments and phone numbers, and I can't think very well, but that's...
Yeah, I can't remember which end of the tube the round comes out, but other than that, it's fine.
But everything's fine. Nobody's dropping dead, and in fact, they are. And my problem here as a journalist is, wow, I've got this information, and I just don't see it reflected in any kind of mass media, television, or newsprint.
Well, there's no big surprise there.
Tonight, 1 in 6 suffering a neurological disability. And now we're introducing 4G LTE. Oh, that's cool. My new iPad will work even better.
Yeah. Long-term evolution, I think, is what that stands for. Hey, William, we got to take a break, but we're going to come back, and then I want you to tell us a little bit about what goes on at the International Chemtrails Conference, and eventually we'll get to what can we do about all this. This is Coast to Coast AM. We shall return. Say no ship of fools, and certainly not a ship of tools. This is the mothership that is Coast to Coast AM. You know, magnetic pole shift, pole reversal, none of these things are discussed, or even if they are visited, they're certainly not revisited by mainstream media. A few decades ago, it was fallout shelters. That's what I want my kids to grow up and see, America sitting it out in fallout shelters all over the country, just waiting for that Soviet nuke to come on over. And as fellow who played Ward Cleaver said in a public service film, we'll just wait a couple of days and come out and start cleaning up. I don't know, maybe the grand creator of this this reality has an amazing sense of humor. I'm thinking we may have been just a little bit ahead of our time there. We may have to move the whole bloody civilization underground, you know, a la Lucas's first film, THX 1138. You ever get a chance to see that picture? It's effective. You figure out real quick, life on the surface was rough. All right, we'll complete our hour with William Thomas as we discuss geoengineering, chemtrails, and little old me and you on Coast to Coast AM. Hey, William, bear with me for a second while I turn these headphones down. You want to hear something gross? Whenever you hear this is gross. No. Well, to some it will be. Whenever you hear this loud snap on this side of the microphone, you know what that is? That's my elbow popping. I think I may have hit the pavement a few too many times. But Gary, he says, greetings from central Alberta, Canada. Interesting show on chemtrails. This morning was a beautiful, clear, blue sky day. Had to travel to town about 20 kilometers to the north, and on the way counted 5 chemtrails going in a southeast to northwest direction. These trails were evenly spaced in the same length. They were starting to thin and spread when I headed back home. Took a nap. When I woke up about an hour later, the sky was totally overcast and the sunshine diminished. It stayed that way till nightfall. I've tried to get some of our local talk shows to bring this topic up, but they just ignore it, and our government won't give us any answers on the chemtrails or the fallout, the radiation fallout from Japan. Isn't it wonderful, the world we live in? It is. But look, if nobody in the mainstream media will address this, I guess it's just us, isn't it? I mean, is that how it's going to wind up? William, are we going to wind up moving our scantily populated civilization underground at some point?
I don't think we can afford to do that in every meaning of the word, afford it. This is a jewel of an oasis in space, and we've been looking very hard for an alternative planet to go.
Oh, perfect.
I'm sorry, I mean settle.
And well, that's just what we need, to leave the planet.
Years, and we haven't found one yet. So
no.
I think we ought to really take care of this one and not be considering bunkers or, you know, space stations. After all, we already inhabit a space colony. The atmosphere is literally the thickness of a sheet of paper over a beach ball, very fragile.
Oh, yes.
And on the other side of that, the cold, irradiated vacuum of deep space. And I think that we really – I'm a sailor, John. I've sailed all over the Pacific for – 8 years. I've been sailing much of my adult life, and makes me nervous when people don't take care of their ship. And there's no land in sight when you're talking about Mother Earth. And also a very quick correction here. I don't like to give out wrong information. I did a fact check just now. I mentioned that nitrogen oxide, 10 times the heat trapping properties of CO2. Wrong. Sound the buzzer. 300 times. 300 times more heat trapping. And of course, various nitrogen compounds are now the flavor of the year for ice nucleation and making it snow when it's 48 degrees Fahrenheit. We don't want to be spreading more nitrogen into the atmosphere. So a quick note on that.
Well, very quickly tell us, because I want to ask you a couple more questions, and your thoughts are large and your answer will be long, so I want to get this done real quick. What do you do? What goes on at the International Chemtrails Conference?
Meet a lot of interesting people, hear a lot of interesting things, as we have been for the last 14 years in this investigation. And as we're hearing in some, last time I checked this afternoon, 2,600,000 chemtrail entries on the internet.
Is that all?
I mean, all kinds of interesting things. But what really got me excited, and I was so honored to be asked to go down there and speak, was meeting some heroes of mine. I met Scott Stevens, the first weatherman to come out and endorse chemtrails and talk cogently about them. I met Michael Murphy. You mentioned him tonight. What in the world are they spraying? Why in the world are they spraying? Saw his film there. Very exciting to talk with Michael. Met Dane Wigington, and now I find myself working closely with Dane and geoengineering.com. In fact, the article that precipitated tonight's Coast to Coast show was done for Dane and geoengineering.com. And the
now, is he geoengineering.com? And you're
I am willthomasonline.net.
Oh. Okay, and it's Michael who is geoengineeringwatch.org. Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, okay.
Keep going. Sorry. Okay.
And finally, the highlight for me, Cynthia McKinney, and she has been a longtime hero of mine, the first to stand up against the warmongers in Washington, not once but repeatedly, paid the ultimate political price for it, and she showed up and stood up and endorsed chemtrails, endorsed the chemtrail movement, said we've got to make this a political issue, we've got to get a handle on this. And I was absolutely thrilled to see someone of her stature standing up for the chemtrails and the movement. It was a big, big moment for me, and I think for many of the people who attended. And of course, it was broadcast live all around the world, so the attendance was much bigger than that big hall in Los Angeles. So, hats off to the organizer and the conference participants.
Do you really believe that populations are potentially being sterilized, maybe even lobotomized by the EMR, the electromagnetic radiation?
No.
I mean, is evidence beginning to show this, or are we speculating?
I don't operate on beliefs. Belief does so much damage. If
you
can't prove something, demonstrate it, and have to, quote, believe it, I think we're already in trouble. I can say absolutely that 1 in 16 couples in the United States are experiencing infertility. They can't conceive after 2 years of trying. I can say absolutely it's 1 in 4 couples in Delhi, in India, which is jammed with microwave towers. We can correlate those remarks with scientific and medical research showing that people that put men who put cell phones in their pockets are sterilizing themselves. They're killing their sperm, and the ones that survive won't be able to function properly. We know that young girls sitting in the classroom with the wireless laptops are destroying the eggs that they're born with. We know this for a medical fact. The researchers I'm following, the big names in the field, are now saying that by 2048, sperm counts worldwide will be essentially zero. We are falling off a cliff here, and I don't know if this is unintended or otherwise, because the warnings have been sounded for decades, but it's factual to say that brain damage begins the minute you put a cell phone to your head, the minute you turn on a portable phone cradle in your home, and that damage is cumulative over time. And now doctors are talking about something called early onset Alzheimer's. And this has me very exercised. They are saying that children who grow up with wireless, and what kid isn't, will be unable to function in society, I'm using their words, the researchers' words, by the age 30. Already we see kids with zero attention span, zero ability, that's a bit harsh, almost no ability to, you know, think cogently, coherently, put two thoughts together, and There are social aspects to all of the screen culture that we're immersed in, but there are definite neurological effects. We talked quite a bit about denial tonight, and I've noticed that from the very beginning of my research, many people would not even look up. When you said, hey, do you see that over your head? What do you think about that? Would not even raise their head. I have now come to the conclusion, and I'm writing a book to support this called Zombie Nation. I've come to the conclusion that this is actual signs not only of denial and television and media brainwashing, but physical brain damage. And I will demonstrate that in my book, all documented. So we are heading toward a brain-wiped population, essentially sterile, if we go on, keep going on this insane proliferation of radiation. And I finally have to say, I'm very tired of people telling me how safe radiation is, because it isn't in any
form. No. Well, you know, depression is going up. I mean, everything from depression to ED is going up. Crimes seem to be more heinous. Politicians are more indiscreet.
Yes.
And some of them are just plain irrational. I mean, William, how can we prepare, and what are we preparing for? That's a good one, isn't it?
Yeah. Thanks. But I feel strongly as an investigative reporter, especially into dark subjects, that I have an obligation to point to the exits, or at least to alternatives, and all reporters do. And I always say a prayer before going on to a show like this one tonight. You know, please help me inform people, speak passionately, calmly, correctly, clearly, and not to terrify people so they're turned off and feel helpless, but to get them hopefully alarmed enough to take action. And the first action we can do is take care of ourselves and understand that stress is the big killer. We have to understand how to let go of outcomes. We are engaged in the chemtrail issue. We are engaged in the wireless issue. Whatever it is, we let go of the outcome. We must do that, okay? We love each other as much as we can. Absolutely. Compassion and love is really the only answer here, and I mean that sincerely. Then we look to our personal living space, ourselves, our families, and we clean up the electromagnetic fields in our living space, particularly our bedrooms. Goodbye clock radio, bye-bye wireless router, goodbye cell phone, a portable phone cradle, much worse. That's a microwave tower in your living room or your bedroom.
It's true.
We get together with our neighbors and we fight the smart meter and smart meter grid proliferation. And I must say quickly, we're having very good success here on this little island by using a private claim of right and common law. We've got the utility company completely tied up over this thing. So there is a way, and there is a way to get these things removed. We join the worldwide movement to stop geoengineering, and when we do that, we help to educate the movement that it's already going on. It's been going on for years. The big international organizations still say that this might happen and we have to stop it before it does, and they don't understand the extent of geoengineering today. And I mean, not just chemtrails, but again, this ice nucleation thing and making winter out of warmth. We support any political representative who takes on geoengineering, or smart meters for that matter. I'm hoping Dennis Kucinich will step up. He's an American hero, if there ever was one. We write the top wireless health researchers and ask them to look into, scientifically examine, this idea of electromagnetic conducting chemtrails.
Yeah.
George Kala would be a candidate right there. And finally, we insist that the Weather Channel and weather channels, let's make that plural, come clean on the geoengineering activities they're describing every night, without reporting, without identifying. Oh, we have this new heavy snow, and the rain is flashing into snow. See it on the radar? How does rain flash into snow at 48 degrees Fahrenheit? And the answer is, you got to put stuff in the air to make that happen. Okay?
So
we are seeing the effects of geoengineering, but we're not being told the truth.
You know, I always make it a point to sit at the I call it the sniper position. I like to sit in the back of the room in the corner where I can see the entire room.
There you go.
And there is so much stuff going on out there. A couple of listeners have emailed saying, do you think this is in preparation for like some other life form to live here? And I started thinking, what could be the, if they came to the conclusion that, well, we're going to have 2 more billion people very shortly on the planet, and it's going to strain everything. It's going to strain everything from the fuel for the cars to the fuel for our bodies. It's going to be strange. Mm. I think people would be a little bit pressed to deny that, at least it appears in the larger metropolitan areas, that people are, I don't know if it's just all the stimuli they're being hit with, but they seem ruder and dumber. They don't seem to think clearly. I don't know if it's because they're just distracted. One minute it's, I keep going back to Jodi Arias and this unending, very obvious murder trial.
Yeah.
And the next minute it's Kim Jong-un wants to nuke 3 cities in the U.S., including Austin, Texas. I guess he's jealous. I'm thinking maybe we might, as a nation, have to engage in a little intellectual isolationism and just decide. I mean, I'm sensing a we're mad as hell and we're not going to take this anymore moment, that perhaps we could, I don't think being alarmed is the thing to do. I think getting mad and being vocal about it is the thing to do, and to force the authorities to at least answer us. And after they answer us, then maybe they'll take some corrective action. But certainly, it's not much of a stretch to say that we're more informed, by and large, than the ones who lead us.
Absolutely.
And so how do we apply this pressure? How is it done? You call your congressman talking about chemtrails. What's he going to say to you? Click.
Mm-hmm. I think we have to do whatever we can locally, in our communities, in our neighborhoods, on the national stage. They're not listening. Our governments, and I use that in plural as well, are beholden to the corporations. We have corporate governments. Corporates call the tunes. Mussolini, by the way, called that fascism. He said when governments are in service to corporations, that's the definition of fascism. He should know. He invented the modern version. So yes. Very hard to get through to people like that with commercial, heavy commercial vested interests. And, of course, we see scientists flocking to the geoengineering scam because of the profit potential, and they will say that out loud. So we take care of ourselves first, because the one thing we can control are our individual choices that we make every day in what we purchase or refuse to purchase, what we buy on television that we hear, and what we don't buy. And I turned my television off 15 years ago, and good riddance to the darn thing. But whatever we can get a handle on individually and with our friends and families, we act there. We gotcha. Put in a garden. We get back to the earth. We take our shoes off. We get our bare feet into the ground, and we ground ourselves, because we are a nation of distracted people looking at screens instead of the person next to us, texting the person across from us instead of talking to them. I'm very concerned about where we're going socially. And I would like to, I probably won't now because of my aversion to messing up the stratosphere any more than it is.
Right.
The interest is to know what's happening in Europe. And I think they're way ahead of us in many, many ways. And maybe the solar panels cost a lot of money and won't help a lot with this global warming, but I'll tell you what, the solar panels have energized Germany and have resulted in huge boost in employment and pride and self-worth, and it's catching on. You know, Scandinavian countries doing the same, and I think most Americans are ready to do that, and the corporate interests, the oil mafia in particular, just is determined not to let that happen.
This has been a quick couple of hours. William Thomas, thank you very much for your work. Please stay in touch with us. It was a delight to have you on the program. His book is Chemtrails Confirmed. His website, willthomasonline.net. Well, so if you want something to go away, quit buying it. For from the so-called information to the products we just have to own, which in turn, and as illustrated tonight, own us. We'll be back after this break with Michael Murphy on Coast to Coast AM.